All right. Welcome everyone to this special meeting of the Kensington Fire Crichton District Board of Directors. It is October 1st, 2024 at 5:06 p.m. I will now call the meeting to order. Director Arden.
Here.
Director Verdugo.
Here.
Director Stein.
Here.
Director Watt.
Here.
And Director Levine. We are joined in the room by our General Manager, Karen Martin-Arden. All right. Agenda. We begin with public comment for items on the special meeting agenda. There's no members of the public in the room, so let's look at the Zoom. Is there any public comment on the Zoom? Oh, yes. Anthony Knight, please unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I would just like to say I was very excited to see that you were having this special meeting and what was on the agenda. I think all of you probably know that I'm very interested in this subject, and I'm also very that my wife and I are currently off on vacation in New Mexico. So I just want to let you know that my absence is not a sign of disinterest.
Thank you very much, Anthony. You can lower your hand and mute yourself. All right, any other public comment from the directors?
I'd just like to mention that I would like to leave at 5:45 so that I can get back to see you.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully we can do that. Everyone should keep their comments direct and to the point.
That's not a hopefully we can do that. Those of us who plan to leave at 5:45 will leave.
Okay.
Because we believe that this was a socially unaware move to schedule this meeting on the same time and day as a very important national event. And I would also just like to say that my comments about the agenda are that you, the board president, and our general manager went to great pains before we adjourned the last meeting to state that every unfinished item from the September agenda would be taken up on the October regular meeting agenda. And you debated back and forth, should we adjourn, should we not adjourn? Oh, we don't have to adjourn, because the assumption is that every unfinished item will be taken up on the October agenda, which many members of the public were expecting to happen. So it's just, I'm very fortunate that Anthony Knight is in attendance, but I think we would have gotten a much more robust attendance if we had done what we said we were going to do.
In the interest of moving right along, I'll just be very brief and short, you're wrong. Moving on to the next item, discuss option four. We did not have that. And you can look at your transcript that you love to look at. It doesn't say anything about the regular meeting. It doesn't say anything about the regular meeting.
Excuse me, Mr. President. I was speaking.
I was actually speaking.
You interrupted me. It absolutely did say, Mary said, as long as you take it up at the next regular meeting, you don't have to adjourn. But anyway, we're here.
Yes. So let's move on.
I'm still speaking, Mr. President.
Sorry, I thought you were saying you were done. Sorry.
Should I call you Mike Pence?
I don't understand, but go on.
Well, that explains why we're here on the night of a vice presidential debate. But anyway, let us please move on with respect.
Excellent idea.
I'd appreciate it if it came from everyone.
I would too. And I would appreciate if professionalism came from everyone.
Here, here. Item number one, or actually three on the agenda, discuss options for working with East Bay Regional Park District on possible fee reduction between Kensington and the park. Mary.
So this was just a follow-up from the August meeting, because this was on the September meeting. So from that meeting, there was discussion on potential set-asides and discussion on working with East Bay Regional Parks, and the board talked about creating a subcommittee potentially or having a consultant work with East Bay Regional Parks, so we said it would be on a future agenda to discuss that.
And here we are. Well, Jim, I think you have said that you wanted to talk about this. Yeah.
Because I did have a formal presentation.
Okay.
and I prepared it, so I'll read it to you. The fire department is responsible for all aspects of fire protection, not just overseeing the operations of the El Cerrito Fire Department. As a, quote, protection, unquote, district, it's our obligation to reduce the threat of fire in Kensington and to provide adequate access routes for emergency responders and citizens. Now that the BSB is nearing completion, Ridgeline is projecting significant annual cash surpluses of about $900,000 annually, resulting in a budget surplus of $12 million in 2034. These forecasts assume the KFPD will do absolutely nothing to reduce these fire risks. We need to approve setting aside funds to reduce fire risks. 3 months ago, I made some recommendations, but so far the board has reached no conclusion. Some have commented that we should not set aside funds until we have a better understanding of the work involved. But some of this work will require preliminary studies and the cost to undertake the work. It is not uncommon for this board to set aside budget expenditures on work that has not been identified. For example, we have typically earmarked expenditures for additional fire hydrants and for consultants to look into grant funding. I'm requesting that we do the same thing for fire risks, and I'm proposing that we set aside $100,000 to reduce fire risks in Tilden Park and $50,000 to study a cul-de-sac at the end of Lake Drive. I'm further recommending that we appoint one or two board members to commence discussions with East Bay Regional Park about ways we can reduce fire hazard risk from Tilden Park and get bids from firms that would provide us with a potential layout for the Lake Drive cul-de-sac. Any actual expenditures would, of course, be brought to the full board for approval. And I look forward to your comments on this.
Rick, did you also say that you had a comment on this?
I didn't.
Oh, okay, sorry. Better confuse that. Other board discussion.
This is the East Bay Regional one?
Yeah, that is the item we're doing, yes.
Oh, for some reason, I was missing my agenda.
There's no supporting documentation in the packet, which might confuse you.
Okay.
And we didn't discuss it in September as the agenda reads, which was also confusing.
Okay, so I think that putting aside money is, in my mind, as a hope is for something this important would be as easy in the future as it would be right now. I think going ahead and doing a committee that could do, could interface with these very general, I like that idea. I like the idea of coming up with ideas for how to spend $100,000 or whatever. I'm not quite ready to create a separate line item yet without getting a little farther down the road on that. And as for the cul-de-sac, for some reason I thought that had to do with the county, since it's a road issue, but that could be wrong. Because I thought we talked about it before.
We did.
Yes. Okay. So that's just me. That's what I think.
Dr. Stein.
Go ahead.
I also wanted to bring up, we had discussed in June, I believe, Tim, our former interim general manager, a consulting agreement with him, since he had done the first sort of liaising with the East Bay Regional Parks District to bring them to our district for their presentation. We discussed having Tim as a consultant to sort of directly interface and do this work on the district's behalf, which I also think could be an excellent way of going. Tim's still doing some work with the district on a consulting agreement, but not on this topic.
I would like to comment on that. I have some problems having Tim do this. There were some things when he was on our board here where I asked for some information. He went and talked to the party that I would otherwise have talked to. He came back with his information, which in bigger cases was the Elster Union Fire Department, and clearly had not asked the questions the way I would have asked them, nor had come back with the answers that I was expecting. So in my opinion, we had Tim do some things that didn't give me the information. So I would prefer that we get started with just board members working on this. And as I mentioned now two meetings ago, as a retired person, I have the time available to do this. This is not committing the board to anything until I get answers and come back with some suggestions. And we kind of go from there. We need to start with, the three important people are, well, there's this Elizabeth Echols, who's who's in charge of East Bay Region Park for our area. And then the fire chief and Patrick
McIntyre.
So that's where I start. And I come back to the board and say, here's what I think we can do. I did have an occasion a couple of weeks ago to talk with Patrick, and Patrick understood the problems. And he said he would move it up on his list of things to look into, which suggested to me this could take a long time. And as we may have noticed this morning, I don't know if you noticed that we had a Mount Diablo wind this morning, and a rather strong Mount Diablo wind. And as you may also know, where you leave Grizzly Peak and come down the old school trail, I have been doing, together with some help, a lot of work along there to take out vegetation to try to reduce fire risk. That was very concerning this morning. That wind was blowing strong. It's cut down substantially, but we have to get going on this. This wasn't a factor 5-10 years ago, but it's a factor now. And we really need to get on top of this. I can tell you that you go down 50 feet off the school trail where we've cleared stuff out, and it's wooded, it's dense, it can be thinned out. We can even pick up dead wood and get rid of it. We've got to get a fire break of at least a couple hundred feet to make sure that there's sufficient area to prevent a fire from coming up into the rooms.
That's great. I would like to make, you were queued up.
I would say I have two comments. Regarding the cul-de-sac study, said it's a study.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to refer back to the parking and traffic study that the fire district conducted in 2019-2020. Every single aspect of that study should have been put into practice. Was under the jurisdiction of the KPPC Sierra Valley. So the fact that Jim wants to conduct a study of something that could ultimately be under the jurisdiction of the county, I see no problem with that. We have a precedent for that. And I don't know if anyone else has tried to get themselves out of that section of Lake Drive that Jim is talking about. It's a real mess. So a study is not going to break ground. A study is something that the residents can comment on. And what dovetails with that is actually when it comes to parking studies, in particular of the cul-de-sacs, York, Windsor, no, I'm forgetting
St. Albans.
Maybe St. Albans. There was a lot of discussion about parking on those cul-de-sacs and changing the directions. Eileen Natoli, to her great credit, when she was on the KPPCSD board, worked with the county, and the county basically said, if the residents on this cul-de-sac get together, they want to change the direction of their parking, they can come to us, the county, and we will work with them. So I think this dovetails with Jim's idea of a study. This is something that could be done, could be presented to the residents, as was done on my street. The residents protested massively about the parking changes.
that a couple of members of this board proposed and the police department drafted. But I think on other streets, the residents may embrace it. I feel like Lake Drive should be given a chance. And so I support Jim's item in that respect. And this whole idea of I don't want to put anything in the budget until we're ready to spend it. We've got so much lard in our budget that's there. Some of it only gets spent because it's there. Some of it is there as a placeholder that can be moved around for other things and is not even a realistic amount of money to accomplish the task. For example, we talked about water improvements. Budgeting $10,000 is likely to get us nowhere. So I absolutely see no problem with Jim's idea of putting money in the budget for this project. And like he said, the board would approve moving forward with it. The third thing I want to say is going to dovetail with the next item, this wildland vegetation management. It's absolutely false, this notion that the district has a right-of-way agreement with these bathing shrub parks. I checked with Chief Sailors, he said no. I've checked with people who work with these state regional parks. They said no. I think that what you're referring to is
are you doing four?
I want to say that this is false, that our district currently holds a right-of-way agreement with these state regional parks. But I think this is something that under Jim's item for a subcommittee, we could actually work on. And I heard that there was negotiation for it at one point and it was dropped under Jim's item. I'd like to see that picked up again because that would be the pathway to enable us to actually do vegetation management in East Bay Regional Parks in the same way that the Diablo Fire Safety Council, who actually holds the right of entry permit, they use that permit to spend money and do vegetation management. So I think there's a lot that can come out of your item. That's my support for you.
Thank you. Two things. I think putting, I'll reiterate something I've said before, I think putting line items in the budget when there isn't a proposal on the table is unnecessary. We should have a proposal put in the table. The budget will allow us to fund a good proposal. Jim, you and I have spent a lot of time trying to figure out what's a good proposal, and there's been a little bit of churn. That's a separate thing, so I want to discuss how to get to a good proposal secondarily. But for me, putting line items in the budget, your comment about a study is not Jim's words at any point in this process that I recall, including tonight, but rather to do it, right? A project to put a cul-de-sac in there. Now, it has to start with a study. We've always done that. But what study with what audience to do what exact thing? And who sets forth the criteria? For many of the things we've discussed, I've gone to the chief and I just said, do you think it would be helpful to do X? He has routinely come back and challenged my priors, as I said in an earlier meeting. He's challenged the assumptions that I brought that X would be the outcome of the thing we were talking about. And he said, nope. Okay, so no, it wouldn't be helpful to have a hydrant. No, it wouldn't. I don't think a cul-de-sac would be useful for emergency vehicles, which was how it was originally laid out. I don't think X or Y or Z. Okay, fine. Then let's take a step back and work with the chief to get a sense of what would be helpful. He has made suggestions to you and I about things we could spend money on to get the growler, the thing that does brush clearing. He has made suggestions that could be part of a plan to work with the East Bay Regional Parks District, excuse me. I think we should focus our effort on getting those things in a bite-sized fashion brought to this board to move forward, whatever they are. If they have board support, then we do. That C seems to me budgetarily, we can put line items in, they don't mean anything to me. A specific proposal means something. I'll stop there.
Well, two things. I'm absolutely flabbergasted to hear you say that you don't believe in putting line items in a budget unless there's a specific proposal. Because the budget that you now on the finance committee with Jim recommended to us as line items in the budget, which I'm trying to look up, that have no specific
I'm talking proposal. About for these kinds of nebulous projects that are not in our purview. I don't think we need to do that.
Well, how about the water item that you kept in the budget?
I thought that was removed. It
was. Well, if it was, I'm glad to hear it.
And there have been water items are certain. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I just feel that it's sort of like potentially talking out of both sides of one's mouth, because I actually suggested at the June budget meeting that there's two different approaches we can take to the budget. We can only put in the budget the items that we know we want to pay for, and we know we're going to spend that money. And then as new things come along, we can expand the budget when a proposal comes to us. And I was actually in favor of that. But somehow we ended up with the notion of there's some things that have been in the budget year after year. We're still leaving them there in case we need it. The general manager has the authority to rebudget. I notice things get rebudgeted. And I don't want to turn this into a budget discussion. But if you're going to say that kind of thing, then let's be consistent. And I thought you said that you were proposing a study. So if I got that wrong, I'm duly noted that I got that wrong.
I was proposing a study. And I don't understand, Rick. You made it sound like because the fire chief thinks that a cul-de-sac would serve no useful purpose on Lake Drive, that we should accept that as something therefore that we shouldn't do. I know that area perfectly well, and I'm sure you do too. I can tell you, absolutely, a cul-de-sac would be very, very helpful if you have to get out of there quickly. When you're facing the wrong way, my kids live on that street, so I go down that way all the time. When I'm trying to turn around, it takes forever. If I had a proper cul-de-sac, I could get down, turn around, and get out. So my point is, I mean, I just it sounded as though we're just going to forget about a cul-de-sac on Lake Drive.
And I wanted to get to the later part of this, which is how do we bring proposals forward for adequate discussion as a board, but how do we rely on people with actual expertise? I also called Patrick. I also got the sense of exactly what cadence they could do work along the ridge line. And some things were shorter term, and some things were longer term. I was very happy with that. That doesn't substitute for adequate board discussion. There is still a point of how do we bring a proposal to the board and vet it and then spend money on it. That's what I
want to just jump in to bring us back to the agenda item, which is not to decide what we're going to do today, but how are we going to do this?
Yes.
So it sounds like from a couple of people that a committee is something of interest. Is that correct?
Let's say that again.
A committee.
Yes. That a committee is needed.
Yeah. Is that what I mean?
Or at least a person is needed to start this thing forward. Mm-hmm. I understand that we have three people here that work full time, so it's very hard. You know, one of the many of these things require visiting with people, and it's hard to do when you're working full time.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes one person can do it and bring it back to the board. So it doesn't have to be more than, it doesn't have to be two, it can be one. I'm happy to have two, it's just, I'm available. And I will be happy to bring you this information back if that's what the board would like.
Well, so I appreciate pushing these things to forming a project that we can actually define and debate with the board. I'm happy to work with you. I've taken some of your ideas and tried to do that with them so I can come back to you. So I'm willing to do that. Call it part of our finance committee work. I'm willing to do that with you. bring that back to the board in terms of a specific program. You call it whatever you want. It can be an ad hoc committee. I guess I would like this board to discuss ground rules for what we bring back in an adequate setting, right? So how do we do
can
that?
Can I make a recommendation?
Before we do that, I thought I saw a hand that did you have a comment?
Oh, well, two things. I'm still thinking, but here we are, to the budget. My sense of Jim's explanation of his cul-de-sac proposal was not for emergency vehicles, not for fire engines to haul down to the end of Lake Drive and turn around. My sense of your proposal, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was it was for the people who live there and for the people who are parked on that street. Parking is extremely limited and very awkward on that street. And I've been at neighborhood functions there where you have no choice but to go this way. Then to get out, you're like, wedging yourself. So I have no illusion. I do not think Jim is proposing that we drive a fire engine down that street and build a cul-de-sac big enough or sturdy enough for the fire engine to turn around.
Well, right now they can do that. Because if you go out to the end of Lake Drive, you'll see that there is a fence that can pull the side and the fire truck can go down. And she says, it really doesn't change the fire truck so much as it provides emergency.
But rather than talk about specific items,
I've also raised my hand that the red flag was this notion of the finance committee coming up with this.
Mm-hmm.
Then you backed off on that. But you're a standing committee. All your discussions, all your emails, everything are supposed to take place in a publicly noticed meeting. And I'm not sure that this is a finance issue.
I agree.
It becomes one, but I agree with you. Your point is well taken.
I mean, I think so, it becomes a financial issue for the full board.
Yeah.
Well, just on this one, on the cul-de-sac one, I would like to recommend that somebody has the ability, or two people have the ability, to talk with consultants who can prepare a drawing to show how the sack could work at the end of Lake Drive and the cost to do that.
I think that's one step too far. First, we've got to figure out where that land is, because that whole sack would be on the state regional parks land, right?
So. Well, you've got a good point.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Paul Moss is pretty much gathered, talked to most of the residents, and on fire days, he calls them and gets a touch with them, and everyone parks facing out. So there's, just so you know, that there is something in place for Lake Grand residents on red flag warnings.
It could be any emergency,
yeah.
Any day,
yeah.
It could be a visit.
And it's only here or there for this agenda item, which is a subcommittee. It sounds like there's interest in something. You said you wanted something.
I liked the idea. I don't want to be on it at the moment.
Sure. Yeah. Jim, of course, likes the idea. You proposed it, a committee. You said you're interested in the committee.
I am, actually. Again, though, I want
You want some clearer direction.
I want some clearer direction from this board. In other words, just doing a study that sits there is not clear enough direction.
I'll jump in and say, an ad hoc committee doesn't have to have its entire mission circumscribed at the outset. We can update it as it goes on. That's why it's ad hoc. So maybe I'm going to suggest, as a start, how about a committee of the two of you to investigate what options feasibly can be pursued, right? You don't have to spend any money. It's just what can we do? Can we put a cul-de-sac at the end of Lake Drop? That's a question that I don't even have the answer to before we even get to a consultant part. Can we... Well, do any of the other things that you recommended, what options are available to us? What things, if you talk to the fire chief, if you talk to Patrick McIntyre, if you talk to Eastern Regional Parks fire chief, what things do they think are feasible and would have an impact from their perspective, which is not the end of the perspectives, right?
No, but I guess what I'm trying to get through is, who is a study supposed to influence? And I'm particularly focused on who actually decides whether it goes anywhere and what input do they have?
That's the board.
No. Beyond it, a cul-de-sac is not in the purview of this board. Board can do as many studies as it wants. it needs to influence an adjacent agency to get something done. Who is that? And does any study that we do on anything, whether it's vegetation management with the park or street management with the county, does that study have to have a clear direction in terms of influencing and working with the agency that's going to make a decision, or no? Can it just be freeform?
I would suggest that would be part of saying, is an option feasible, includes finding out who those stakeholders are and bringing them back to the board and saying, if we want to move forward with the cul-de-sac, just as a, if we want to move forward with the cul-de-sac and the end of Lake Drive, here are the partners that we need to work with, here's what they need to agree to, and here's how we do that, right? A clear plan. That's
that
part of the feasibility.
Does that make sense to you?
Does that work?
Dan, you bring up a very important point, which I agree with. But the very first step is to find out who owns this property, find out whether or not we can start talking with that people about possibly putting a cul-de-sac on that property, and then getting the cost, an estimate of the cost to do that.
I agree. Okay.
I would do that.
Excellent.
Now that takes care of the cul-de-sac. Now we've got to go down to East Regional Park and the school track.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying, the charge of this committee would be to investigate feasible options for fuel reduction and or improvements to the capital infrastructure of the district for things that are in our district's purview. That feasibility study includes talking to people, it includes finding all the stakeholders, it includes laying out a clear plan for what a study would entail, and discussion about what things are feasible. Does that sound good?
That sounds good, and I just want to, again, not go down to the school track. Julie made a very interesting point. I'm not too sure that we ever reached any agreement on areas that we could work on along the school trail. So we have to start kind of there.
Yeah.
We have to see where we are, and then where it is that the properties owned by the individual homes along that area.
It's wonderful.
And who owns, who we have to talk to for modifications below that.
Okay.
Works.
Sounds good. It sounds like Rick and Jim are interested in this committee. Is that my understanding? Is that correct? Okay.
So I propose an ad hoc committee to do exactly what he said.
Yeah. I technically don't even need a board motion for that.
Okay.
So an ad hoc committee, as I described.
But I think you should, when I was the president, I published the charge of every ad hoc committee in every board packet.
Yeah.
And when they, because an ad hoc committee is supposed to have a specific goal or project, time limited, when they accomplish it, you dissolve it.
Yep.
So I think that you need to settle on a charge,
yes,
publish it, and then give your report every month.
Yes. I mean,
should we bring that to the next board meeting in a couple of weeks?
You don't have time, it's 2 days before that agenda.
Oh.
It's not, it's just an announcement.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just an announcement in this case. As I was in the middle of saying, I proposed that we make an ad hoc committee consisting of, as it turns out, directors, Watt, and artists, with the charge of assessing the feasibility of options for fuel reduction and capital infrastructure improvement for the district that meets our district's mission. And that would be a feasibility study that would involve discussing with various stakeholders and bringing back to the board a plan for feasible options that can be pursued going forward. I do suggest that you make a monthly report if you can pull one together for our October meeting. If you can't, that's fine. It's only 2 weeks away. So we can say maybe have your first report at least by November, and that it will last for 6 months from today, or you finish this feasibility study, whichever comes first. We can write that down for announcement for our October meeting, and that sounds good.
Yeah, you didn't mention the cul-de-sac at the end of Lake Drive.
That's a capital improvement, yeah.
Okay,
a feasibility of capital improvements.
But It wouldn't be our capital improvement necessarily. We don't, it would be a county. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't know. I guess we'll find out. All right. If that is all good, then we can move on to Wildland Vegetation Management 4. Oh, public comment. I'm sorry. Yes, public comment. And Anthony, please unmute yourself. Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is actually just a point of order. I can only see three of the directors. Is it possible to readjust the camera so that the full board is available on screen?
You are
here.
Individual.
Okay, yeah, great.
If someone wants to.
Oh, I know. Okay, we'll work on that, Anthony. Thank you. Other public comment? All right, seeing none. Item 4, wildland vegetation management.
So this was the one that's included in the packet, and the information that I got was from the fire department, so from Chase Beckman. So with the right of way, I need to find out what was updated, but this was something that he was aware of from way back when. They had it as a project that they've done back, dating at least back to 2000. So, that's why we continue to do that. That was the invoice that was included. I think there was questions on, because, I had even talked with Chief Sailors about the, you know, level of detail in the invoice. So they've been, you know, slowly going through and making changes as he's come on board, and they're looking at potentially, revisiting this, and will request additional detail. But I do know that it's more than just something like weed eating. It's chopping down any potential trees, taking things to the dump. It's crews. It's not just one person. So there's more detail than just the flat fee indicator. So that was just to report back for additional direction on whether we, and it might go along with this committee, the ad hoc committee work that you're looking at with East Bay Regional Parks. I'm not sure, but it comes through from the fire department. So they manage that work.
Yes.
So I have a few comments. First of all, the reason that I asked to have this put on the agenda was more coming from the point of view that this work was done prior to June 1, apparently, because the invoice is dated June 1. It seems to have been approved and paid by check. I don't know who signed the check. Without really knowing exactly what the work was for, it's not typical. It doesn't contain an hourly rate, a number of days. We don't know for sure who ordered the work. We don't know if anyone inspected the work. Canyon Court is not a street that actually exists from everyone I've talked to and the maps that I've looked at. So my concern was that this just seemed to be rubber stamped. And I don't think we should be rubber stamping invoices, which this was one of the reasons I had a different agenda item. And in fact, when we first launched into this invoice in August, and yes, I'm using my transcript, and yes, I resent you using the expression, your transcript, which you just love, because the board actually passed a motion for Mary to procure transcripting software. As a body of five, we found transcripts to be very useful. Mm-hmm. So I think that was unnecessary for you to make that remark. But it struck me that Mary only really learned what this work was for right before the August meeting, which was kind of quite a substantial amount of time after the invoice was actually paid. So, but what I said at the August meeting was, I'm not protesting it, but I think that this is something, I'm glad you said the fire department's planning on firming this up. We don't know if they have a master contract with this person. We don't know if this person has insurance. We don't know what his hourly rate is. And I know other individuals and groups who work with this particular individual. He gives them an hourly or a daily rate. He gives them a proposal for what he's going to do. There's some verification that what he did was actually done, either before and after pictures. And I think it's a little frustrating that this was just sort of like ordered by someone else and send the district your bill. I think we should have more control. I understand that this expense is in the budget, but I think we should have more control over this. And the reality is, so we do not have the right-of-way agreement with East Bay Retail Parks from a district perspective. First thing I did, which is something I would hope that you would do, is ask for a copy of the agreement. So I asked for the fire department for a copy of the agreement, the fire chief specifically. And he said, oh, that's not with your district. That's with the Diablo Fire Safe Group, which I think probably when many of, speaking for myself when I read this, I thought that's with that Diablo Fire Safe Group. But if we're actually able to establish an agreement with the district, my position would be firm up this working relationship, formalize it, and maybe we can spend more than this.
Just a quick comment. I really support the fact that this was done. Take your point about command and control procedures, the fact that it came through Fire Marshal Beckman, but it took us three tries to get anything even remotely like an answer for what it was is unhelpful. I love the fact that it happened. I think if there's a way that we can do more of this, I would fall over myself supporting it. It's a big chunk of it was right not very far from my house. It's really obvious. Things got better in the underbrush. So I am happy that things like this are possible. I would like to accelerate and amplify it. I feel like there are levers of relationship building that are accessible to us that we could, as a board, use with these big regional parks. So I don't know enough about it yet, but I would like us to do more planning around that and being helpful.
Just to follow up on your comment about that things were accomplished near your house. One of the other issues is that this particular vendor works for multiple funding sources in the same area. So it might be hard to assure that what you saw that was done near your house was paid for by this $4,000.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, very briefly. Oh, sorry. You still?
Well,
yes. It's
just to say that I talked with Theo. You know that the work that he was doing for the city of El Cerrito. He mentioned East Bay Regional Park. This was the city of El Cerrito. And the biggest part of it was the Purdue Meadows. He came in and.
Yep.
I have actually no problem paying him. I just want to point out that it was for the city of El Cerrito, and El Cerrito is sending that bill over to us. But I think that we should have a little bit more involved with it, given that we're the ones that are ending up paying. I'm willing to.
Do you want to add to it?
Yeah, I did. So the way that they described it when they sent it over, and they've sent it over for at least 4 years that I'm aware of, but as we see, we have a history on it. They label it as the Kensington interface, which is why I didn't take exception to it. I thought it was valid coming from those three other partners. We'll just.
I guess very briefly, if there's public comment on this item, because it's 5:45.
Yeah.
So I think you want to. So
yeah. Is there a decision to be made? I mean, looks like broadly, if we don't want to continue the program, but I don't think that was ever the reason this was brought up.
But there's just an opportunity for public comment for this item.
Yeah.
So public comment for this item. Anthony, is your hand up for this item, or is it just still up from before? I think it's still from before.
Okay.
All right. So I think we're done with that item. Yes, yes.
When you say done with the item, then we are approving to go ahead and pay for this.
It was
paid months ago.
Yeah.
Oh. that's the point.
Yes,
it's
already.
The money's long ago left the bank.
Okay.
We're satisfied with that thing.
Okay, yes.
Well, we have no choice. We can't ask him to pay us back. Well, I don't think it's working good faith.
All right. Are you yeah. doing
I'm
good?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Thank you for covering.
I suppose. If you're and look, so yeah, here's the card.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm here.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank here's you.
Exterior painting of the TSB.
Okay, so this one, so we were excited about getting a quote that was lower than the original one that we had gotten to Director Watt, but it is not prevailing wage. It needs to be prevailing wage, so they told them that they would have no ability to do it prevailing wage. And so it's unfortunate that we can't save any. We didn't come up with one that would save money, but Tim does have another painter scheduled to come out on October 8th to give us another quote.
October 8th?
Mm-hmm. That's next Monday, Tuesday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know for, okay, so now we've got.
Yeah.
Okay, so I reached out to a bunch of people about this topic. In some cases, I told them how much it was, and in some cases, I didn't. Overwhelmingly, the people I talked to were empathetic, but the majority of the opinion was, no matter what the cost, that they weren't in favor of spending the money for repainting the policy of the building. And so we can get another invoice or a proposal bid. But I'm at this point representing a quality of people actually asked. And I'm gonna vote.
Okay. Rick, do you have anything to say on this topic?
I've done no work on this topic and just taken on a little bit of inbound, which was completely mixed. There were people supporting it, as you know, my only comment has been we never should have ended up here, right? This should have been done at the outset, as part of the EIR, I guess. I don't know enough about it, but I don't, especially in this kind of situation, I don't have a good sense that, except for the people most intimately affected by the building, that there is a consensus within Kensington to do it. Your information is better.
I asked tens of people. I mean, it was like probably 20 plus. And because I did it on national level. And so, and here, let me tell you a little bit further. They definitely were like that. I feel for them. The empathy was absolutely there on probably 95% of the people. The majority, I would say, was 80%, 20%, you know, 80% no, 20% for. Most of them said no because and thought about their own situation and that they had no control over their neighbor's house. Why would these residents who knowingly moved into and next to a building, you know, have any say in what the painting is? And so that was it. It was my, I don't want my neighbor to tell me what to do. So I would not expect the district to set a precedent where we're actually listening to individual residents. And so that was part of it. Otherwise, you know, they felt for it. And then they were like, well, how long is the paint going to last? You know, let's repaint it. And, you know, what's the paint?
Look,
it's time to repaint.
Painting the fire stuff.
Yeah. All right. I'll only also say that I think we all feel empathy for this particular house that's impacted by it. At $16,000, which is our currently only bid for it, and even our low bid was still $12,000. That for me, that's too much to spend for essentially the aesthetic value for one resident. That's a lot of vegetation management we could do with $12,000 or $16,000. If there were a lot fewer zeros after it, I might be willing to do it, but at order $15,000-ish. I also heard from a lot of people who, when I asked if they would be in favor of spending approximately $15,000 to repaint the building, was told resoundingly no by a lot of people.
Okay, so then no motion to...
There, yeah. Well, I mean, you can make it.
No, no motion is necessary if the status quo is...
I mean, how is there a motion to close the discussion?
No, there is no... public comment? Sylvia, please unmute yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm one of the people that Danielle very kindly reached out to, and I would like to encourage you to consider something that was raised at a previous one of your meetings, I believe maybe by Julie, to be a good neighbor in a different way, and in a way that a lot of residents do in town, which is to offer a landscaping solution to those residents. Now, this idea was dismissed when it was first brought up, on the basis that we're not trying to encourage people to plant things, but let's be real, people are planting things. We continue to have landscape around our homes. And, you know, when somebody builds a deck next door, sometimes they offer a hedge to the neighbor who's affected by it. So I think that it would be nice and appropriate for the district to reach out to that neighbor and ask if that would interest them.
Thank you so much. Any other public comment? Oh, it looks like yes. Yes.
What? Hello. I actually am very concerned about that last comment. As someone who did not have their insurance renewed and have gone to great pains to remove all landscaping in the zero zone, 0 to 5 feet of my house, the last thing I think that the fire department ought to be doing is putting plantings close within the zero zone of any property. I mean, the house next door probably shouldn't have it. None of us should have it. That's considered the key zone now. It isn't law yet. It's in the works. And in fact, the insurance companies are starting being the bad cops in these places. They are the ones who are insisting that that zone be clear. And let me tell you, once you lose your insurance, you start ripping out those plants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Oh, can you please lower your hand? Mark Wagner. Well, we'll get to it. Any other comments? All right. Moving on, General Manager's report.
Okay. So this is already done, but the roof stack reflection, we had neighbor complaints on that, so that has been painted. Tim worked with margining to get that painted, so that's done. The PSB exterior paint quotes, like I said, we have another one coming in, but and then we had talked about we had a request coming in from a director on general manager job description goals, performance metrics, and key performance indicators. We worked with Brent Ives in the past through several recruitments, but a formal job description was not created. So it's something that I can work on in developing goals and performance metrics and indicators. It's a recommended practice. So if the board would like, I can work on that and bring it to probably not the next meeting, but November forward.
Director comment?
Definitely.
Public comment? Going once, Advice. Seeing none, we move on to public safety building project update. Oh. Yeah, no, we can't go forward if you're not here.
With the construction essentially completed, just a couple of last items that we're working on. We've met the occupancy for the lease financing. We've just got the furniture that's coming in. And then the communications. So we've had communications issues with the internet speed and the backup cellular to be able to communicate with things such as like the elevator. So we have a test coming on October 15th. They have a resolution with Starlink as the backup cellular for that. So they've been working with El Cerrito and the county IT on that. We've had it cleaned really well. And then we got the fire engines to fit with moving the heaters. And I can understand that probably occurred because the building, I think there is a slope to it. Mm-hmm. So we've moved officially out of all storage. So we're not incurring those costs anymore. Tim is working to help determine disposal of those items because a lot of the items that were sent to storage just aren't something that we would use anyway. And then as far as what to do with the temp station, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Berkeley that we're renting the parking lot from has expressed they might be interested in that and the carport. So I'm trying to get what the cost would be so that, you know, they can determine whether that would even be something that they would want to do. So that would just be coming forward. It would be in talking with MAC-5, a good resolution. Otherwise, we have to figure out what to do with it and move it, mm-hmm. destroy it somehow. So then the budget I've got listed here below. We'll probably have an update coming forward because we've been working on change order resolutions. So that will increase, but we're coming to the very end of that. So hopeful that we'll get it resolved very soon.
Does it seem like it will be resolved within the contingency?
Within what?
Within the contingency.
I think we're gonna have a little bit higher than that.
Do we have a date for move-in for the?
So let's see, once we have the testing done on October 15th, then we're waiting for furniture delivery. So within probably about 2 weeks, we should be able to do not full move-in because mm-hmm. we have to do the transition just on one date. So after we confirm the October 15th, whether the communications work, then we can establish that date. And in working with fire, it needs to be on a specific day of the week for their shift change, things like that. So as soon as we know that, we'll put something out there. We want to try to figure out a date for an open house. So we thought maybe putting that into November would be safer just to make sure we've kind of worked out all the keys, mm-hmm. And we'll put some information on the website.
Yeah, and I think the Outlook deadline is October 10, right, for the November, yeah. So.
Okay, so I'll see if Johnny can put something in.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm glad we're doing Starlink as a backup because it's where that PSP is located. It's a good idea.
Yeah, we had issues with
the meeting. Yeah, can I
a little more color on the fire engines don't fit problem?
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, should that have been caught earlier?
Well, it seems to me that it should have, because I've been told they came up with the dimensions ahead of time, but I know. In working with the building, I know there is a slope to it, so something could have affected that. I'm just not sure who is. It was not a huge cost, but we're working with MG to see.
I mean, this district has bad record of fitting fire engines over the last 10 years into the. Yes, we bought a new fire engine that didn't fit.
Okay.
And we found out about it similarly late in the game. And I am...
So we're not going to let that happen again.
Yeah, the third time would be really bad, but I just...
When we go to Orbit Rewind, we're done having the measurements.
Yeah. It just seems like that's one of those things, like if you can't get that right, what else comes into question? Fair. So I'll shut up about it, but that's... Because I don't have any more productive commentary except to try and understand, was that a retrofit where somebody forgot to double check everything about the internal volume, or was that just a bad job at the outset? And I, not so much for blame, but so lessons learned are available to think about going forward. I'd love, I'm not quite sure how much it's going to cost to do this. It seems like the fix might not be that great, but it's not trivial either.
You know, following up on that, since the configuration is changing, maybe now's a good time, once it's finished, is to look into the early earthquake warning, the bay door opening mechanisms. Okay, so there is, if there's an early earthquake warning system, and in a fire station in Palm Springs has a DNAT in their bay, that if it gets a warning for a certain threshold of earthquake, it'll automatically open the bay doors. So if that earthquake's close, then they'll be opening during the shaking. But if it's far enough away but still major, then the bay doors will open. And so it's a Palm Springs fire. I can look where I heard it in a presentation and the NorCal hazards workshop. But
I can ask the question.
I
can ask the question of the design team.
Oh, I was hoping to know.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, somebody said there was one close nearby too that happened, right? And all?
I don't know. I remember this discussion, but I don't remember the locations.
Maybe Rodeo. So yeah, maybe the architect knows. If not, maybe Confire. But that seems like also that's important to me.
Public comment on the public safety building project update. Going once, going twice. All right. Committee reports, the EPC report. So
I had a super short report in there, which was like my draft, but I have the minutes that I could just report on. This is from the August 22nd meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So there was discussion on recommendation of what the KFPD could do towards implementing parking changes. And so we've looked into a couple of things, discussing with police whether there's any kind of formal agreement for parking exceptions, as a resident had mentioned on York. We didn't find that there was anything, but the GM and I are going to talk about what could be done, and then we'll look into what we might be able to do with the county. And then the grand jury report, so that one, the committee had also talked about a resolution at the September meeting, so this was discussed at this meeting, and then it was agendized for the next EPC meeting, which was just last week,
mm-hmm.
and then the resolution happened. Drafting. Then we established a subcommittee for the hazardous vegetation removal reimbursement grant program of Lisa Corona, Davis, Papp, and Palmas.
Board discussion?
You know, I don't know if, as in the ad hoc committee, you can approach EPC members, this, you know, board.
As long as you don't. Well, you, not you.
No, you and Jim, as a part of the ad hoc committee.
Yeah, you can talk to EPC members, but not board members.
Not board members, okay. Because there are some people that might have a lot of background and resource information about some of those topics.
Want to point me to a specific code, mm-hmm. or should I just reject the whole EPC?
You could do the whole EPC if you have just... What?
Yeah, just don't bring the violin.
Not you. Yes, not you too.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I would, just if you have questions about...
I have some, a lot of people giving me inbound, but yes, this would be a more specific set of questions.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't, you know, the FireWise folk may have, as part of building the new FireWises, may ask, you know,
yeah,
the secret part, but it's
I'm sure. Yeah, so my only statement is, if you email the EPC public members, remember that they also, you could make a majority of the EPC just from public members, so don't make a hub and spoke meeting.
Oh,
just
okay, yeah.
Contact each individually or BCC.
I was going to say, so I have to BCC every
yes, day. Or and you can discuss with Mary too.
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment on the EPC report. Going once, going twice. Finance Committee report.
So that one, most items were covered in other items on that last agenda. So we had talked about the El Cerrito contract fee schedule, which was then wrapped into the budget, just in asking about authorized positions, the OES, staffing overtime, salary budget, pepper versus classic PERS members, and then engine replacement. We also talked about reserves funding, which then flowed into the budget. And the rolling stock reserve is adequate at the moment, so we'll revisit a building maintenance potential reserve at the next meeting, which would be January, February timeframe. And then the budget, of course, we adopted at the last meeting, board meeting on September 18th.
There was one, this might have been not the finance committee, I can't remember, but we've talked through it, it might have been at the board meeting. The idea of the template,
right?
The complete template, including the zero items.
And Chief Saylor said he would bring
it to that. He was happy to do that.
So it would be the next time around, or do we need to bring it before?
No, I don't.
We just need to make
as a finance committee, and then I think the board has done their diligence with that specific proposal. I just believe it would be helpful to the board and the chief going forward.
So we need the zeros in, and he said that he could do that.
Right. And that document does have some contractual standing. And so I think just not having, you know, it morphed and a few times during the process in a way which was untraditional. And as I understand it, and so just making sure that we get what is the clear template in its final form, I think would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Public comment? Go ahead once, go ahead twice. All right, that concludes our agenda. I will be our next meeting is Wednesday, October 16th at 7 p.m. And I will see you all then. Have a nice day.
Yeah.